Good morning. Welcome to Wesley Memorial this morning. I was momentarily taken aback by the picture on the screen and thinking, what are those people doing sitting in the hall? But the hall is where I hope you will join everyone later, because today is the day of the pudding party. If anyone here doesn't know about the pudding party, then please do come and find out, because some people have brought puddings to be sampled and to be voted on and to see which one we all like the most. And if you haven't brought a pudding, we really need you there, because there will be a lot of puddings. So, you know, if you have any other plans for lunch, please cancel them, even, you know, whatever they are, however good they are. And if there's other people waiting on you, invite them to come too and join us here after the service. So that's through in the hall, following the tea and coffee, which will be at the end of the service as normal. And there is a bit of an introductory lunch as well, of simple things like bread and cheese and carrot sticks and hummus, but not too much to leave room for pudding. Another couple of announcements. I said welcome. Welcome to anyone joining us on Zoom as well. Very sorry you won't be able to be at the pudding party, but, you know, hurry along if you can. I'm Tom, I'm one of the stewards here, we are also delighted to tell you that the total from the Christian Aid Street Market recently and the church collection came to a whopping £4,498.10. And the online site is still open till 6 o'clock today, so, you know, maybe we could, it wouldn't take much to get over 4,500, so just put something in, you know, another few pennies. And then my other announcement is a fond farewell today, and there is possibly another one later that Simeon may mention. Today would be Leslie Marsh's last week with us, and we don't know whether he's going to be here to have a card and gift that we have for him. The Owusu family have been here since December 2024, and that's Tony and Vida and Nishra and Kumin Nkunim and Aseda, they are moving over to King's Lynn. So we are very sorry to see them go, but delighted that they have taken part in our life here at Wesley Mem. I've been particularly blessed to have Vida join Rockfish as well as singing in the choir. We wish you well over in Norfolk. And I have a small gift here. And it just remains for me to say, Simeon Mitchell is taking our service, a member of this congregation and a local preacher in the circuit. And Simeon, thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much, Tom. The pictures on the screen, for those who are not aware, are from the service that was held here last week. And given the announcement about the pudding party, I wonder if the title of that service, Anticipate, might be more suitable for this morning. So hopefully you're not just thinking about puddings for the next hour or so. Would you sing back to me? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Spirit.
Maranatha.
Come, Lord, come. We share in the opening responses that are on the screen. Come, Holy Spirit. You bring each new day alive with possibility. You fill creation with vitality and hope. You give each human being great potential. You inspire people to transform the world. Come, Holy Spirit, and enter our worship. Come, Lord of life, and infuse our lives. So if you haven't worked it out already, today we are celebrating a very special moment in the life of the church, the day of Pentecost. We'll be sharing the story of what happened on the first Pentecost of the New Testament in a moment. But I'm going to need a few helpers with telling that story. So I wonder if any of you could help. Come and help demonstrate something to everyone else. Actually, everyone is going to want to join in with this. Because several exciting things happened on Pentecost. One of them was that mighty rushing winds appeared. And I wonder, what do you think wind sounds like? Can you make a noise like wind? Oh, very good. A strong wind that blows through the whole church. So in the story, when we hear the story told, whenever we hear mention of wind, I want us to do that, okay? The second thing that happens is tongues of fire. Now, I checked with the stewards beforehand, and they advised the risk assessment form was a bit much to have tongues of fire landing on everyone, but I thought we might make our own tongues of fire with our fingers. So can you hold your fingers up and do some flickering flames, some tongues? Okay, so when fire is mentioned in the story, we're going to do some flickering flames. Now, the third thing that happens at Pentecost is people find themselves speaking in different languages. Now, I wonder, do you know any words in other languages other than English? You know a French, do you know a French word? Bonjour, that's a really good example of a French word. That means hello, doesn't it, in French? Or good day. Now, I wonder, can you just turn to the person next to you? If you know a foreign word, especially if it's a really nice one to say, just tell, exchange that foreign word with your neighbours. Personally, I love the word for tortoise in German, Schildkröter, shield creature. So that's going to be my word. So you've got to have one word in mind. When the story talks about us speaking in different languages, say that word, okay? So, the final thing is, there's a point in the story where a question is asked. And that question is, well, when you hear that question, I'm not going to tell you what it is, you need to listen carefully. When you hear that question, I want you to ask it to the person next to you, okay? So they're the four things you have to keep in mind. So remember what they are: wind, fire, foreign languages, Schildkröter, and a question which I've not yet told you what it is. Okay, so they're the four things to keep in mind as we listen to the reading. But just a little bit of background before we do that. Sorry, Elizabeth. You might be wondering what Pentecost is. Pentecost, well, way back before the time of Jesus, in the Old Testament, Pentecost was a day when the Jewish people from all over gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the very first harvest of the year. So it was a kind of harvest festival. It's one of the highlights of the year when people came together and had a celebration. So Jerusalem would have been buzzing with excitement, perhaps like the days before Christmas here, when everyone's really excited for the event that's to come. People from all over the country, from every region, were there to thank God and to bring some of their harvest to offer in the temple. And that is where our story begins. And this particular Pentecost came 50 days after Jesus had risen from the dead, 10 days after he had ascended to heaven, and the disciples were, like everyone else, in Jerusalem. But they were waiting, as Jesus had told them to wait, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And Jesus had said that when that happened, they would be filled with power that the whole world would see.
Acts 2, verses 1 to 21, a paraphrase. On the day of Pentecost, all the friends of Jesus were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like strong wind blowing. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began talking in other languages. There were people in the town from all over the world at that time. And when they heard the wind, saw the flames, and heard people speaking in their languages, a large crowd gathered. They were all confused and excited, and in amazement they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are all Galileans. We are from all over the place, and yet we can hear these people speaking in our own languages." About the great things that God has done. Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But other people made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Then Peter, Jesus' great friend, stood up and in a loud voice spoke to the crowd. He reminded them that the prophet Joel had said that in the last days God would pour his spirit on all people, on young and old, on men and women, even on slaves, and that people would know this was happening because there would be signs like fire and wind, and that everyone who turned to Jesus would be saved, that is, discover a new and better way of life with God that sets them free.
Thank you. Thanks be to God. And we know that it goes on to say there were 3,000 people who decided to follow Jesus on that day and join the disciples. And in time, most of those 3,000 people would have gone back to where they had come from, taken that story with them, taken that experience with them, shared it with others, invited them into the faith too, until it spread all around the world and down the ages, till it reached even Oxford, till it reached even each of us, till it reached this place today. That is the power that Jesus was talking about. Thank you for helping me tell that amazing story. But it's not just a story from the past, of course. God's Spirit is still alive and active now, and that invitation, that good news, is for every one of us too. So we're going to sing our next song now, an invitation to the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and into our experiences. Oh, breath of life, come sweeping through us. I think before the children leave in a moment, we will allow ourselves a little bit of fire, because we have, from last week's service, we have been given a candle, as well as a mosaic and a prayer to share in together. So we will light that candle now. And this is the mosaic that was made as part of the service last week, and all the services, all the churches in the circuit have a different mosaic and have a candle, and they will all be lighting the candle and sharing the prayer and looking at the mosaic this Sunday to remember that great celebration that we had together. So let's light this candle, and then I shall lead us in the prayer that was written for us all to use. Let us pray. Holy One, we give thanks for our celebration together as the people of the Oxford Circuit. Help us to sense and encounter your glory all around us, in the ordinary, mundane things of our lives, and in the awe-inspiring moments too. May we seek to touch the world with your love, through prayer and with acts of kindness and justice, that all may taste and see your goodness. Amen. And as the children leave now, and their leaders go to their own groups, let's share in a greeting. The Lord be with you. What does this mean? The people asked. As we celebrate Pentecost today, we're going to be exploring different aspects of the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit has been experienced through the ages as God's agent of transformation and literally inspiration. As we say in the Creed, the Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. We know the Spirit is depicted not only as breath, and fire, and wind, and also as water, and as a dove, external symbols of the Spirit's work of movement within creation and in the inner lives of God's people. We're going to hear our anthem now by Greyston Ives, which features verses from George Herbert's poem, Whitsunday. Listen, sweet dove.
Listen, sweet dove.
Thank you very much to Kirsty and the choir. We're going to turn to prayer now. Let us pray. Spirit of God, poured out upon your people, you reach out in diverse ways to touch us and enlarge our hearts, opening us up to new dreams, new hopes, new life in Jesus Christ. But we confess we find it hard to let go of our fear, our hurts, our failures, and our lack of faith. For those times we have stifled your spirit, O God. For those times we have ignored your whispers and shouts. For those times when we have turned away from your words and wonders, forgive us. Forgive our closed minds, which barricade themselves against new ideas, preferring the past to what you might want to do through us tomorrow. Forgive closed eyes, which fail to see the needs of your world or your spirit in those who are very different from us. Forgive our closed hands, which clutch our gifts and our wealth and make us reluctant to share. Forgive our closed hearts, which limit our care for our neighbours and our love for you. Spirit of new life, break down the walls of our selfishness, that we might be fully open to your love and ready to join your work of transforming the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And a prayer by Christina Rossetti. I hope the power of its imagery outweighs any barriers created by its somewhat archaic language. Let us pray. O God, the Holy Ghost, who art light unto thine elect, evermore enlighten us. Thou who art fire of love, evermore enkindle us. Thou who art Lord and giver of life, evermore live in us. Thou who bestowest sevenfold grace, evermore replenish us. As the wind is thy symbol, so forward our goings. As the dove, so launch us heavenwards. As water, so purify our spirits. As a cloud, so abate our temptations. As dew, so revive our languor. As fire, so purge our dross. Amen. You might have noticed that prayer referred to the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit. These are introduced to us in our next reading from the book of Isaiah. Thank you, Colin.
And this is Isaiah chapter 11, reading the first three verses. A shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord.
Our next song celebrates the activities of the Spirit from the dawn of creation to the present day. as in parts of scripture, it refers to the Spirit in the feminine form. She sits like a bird, brooding on the waters. Shall we stand to sing? She sits like a bird, brooding on the waters, hovering. Heard the heavenly dove on the piano there. Thank you. If you wanted to bring about change in the world, real, lasting change, which would move things towards a situation where everyone might experience life in all its fullness, where creation flourishes, where people are set free from injustice and oppression and violence and grinding poverty, to live together in peace and harmony. How would you go about it? And if love is your aim, love is who you are. You can't bring about that change through coercion or control or conquest. Even if you had that power, that's not your way, because the change you seek is as much about hearts and minds than a plan for top-down social or political transformation. What would you do? What would you do? Well, you might start by sending someone, or indeed several people, to plant the seed, to persuade, to show, to be a living example of how that way of life is a path to life, real life. But if the people didn't listen or didn't understand these prophets or the Messiah that followed them, even when you proved that death was not the end, what would you do then? Well, I think perhaps then you might come up with something which looks and sounds and works rather like the Holy Spirit. A breath that will animate all open to receiving it, to receiving you, and start a chain of inner and outward change. Rather than relying on one man to spread your message, suddenly you have a whole diverse host of inspired good news agents. And the change that you long for out of love starts to happen in 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 small acts, in lives transformed and transforming,
a neural network of love that opens paths of communication and understanding, bursts through boundaries, and is, crucially, everywhere and for everyone. Then people will face a choice between the world they know and the world they can sense is now possible, between sticking with their familiar power structures and comfortable injustices and safe if compromised lives, and the prospect of something better. Not everyone will like this breath of God, which undermines tyrants and upsets traditionalists. There will be those who sneer and question any attempt at positive change. Are they drunk? Are they crazy? And there will also be those who resent a movement that has no truck with attempts to divide or to privilege one group over another, that spreads love rather than hate. Certainly, the Make Israel Great Again lobby were stopped in their tracks when at Pentecost God made plain her desire that the deeds of power might be shared with the Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. All those assorted people and places that I spared Elizabeth from reading earlier. This was an experiment in forging a new kind of community that finds unity and strength in its diversity, each one playing a different part. Those who would prefer to keep God in an exclusive box, to which only they and their type hold the key, were confounded that this spirit was poured out not only on men, but on women and slaves, on young and old. It seems Jesus really did mean it when he said that all would have life and have it in abundance. Which brings us to the Wesley brothers, John and Charles, founders of Methodism, who famously, and in their time controversially, proclaimed that all need to be saved, that all can be saved, that all can know that they are saved, and that all can be saved to the uttermost. Today is not only Pentecost Sunday, but also Aldersgate Day, when Methodists celebrate how these driven young men and their friends, particularly John and Charles at this moment, had a profound spiritual experience that would not only change the course of their lives, but the course of history. It's a story that many will remember. Some of us have even sung about many times, but not all will have heard. And as an example of the work of the Spirit, it certainly merits retelling briefly today. It was the 24th of May, like today, but 1738. John Wesley was almost 35 years old and had been ordained for nearly 10 years in the Church of England. Both John and Charles had returned to England from a difficult two-year mission to Georgia in North America, deeply dissatisfied with their spiritual state, still feeling something was missing. On the evening of the 24th of May, John writes in his journal, "I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Like the disciples at Pentecost, in this moment, John Wesley felt God's presence and God's love in a way he had never experienced before. And it had a comparable effect, too. The event released John's immense energies, which until that point had been mostly directed at himself. And along with his brother Charles, who had had a similar experience a few days earlier, and a group of other disciplined and zealous friends, he devoted the rest of his life to sharing the good news that others, that all, could know that sense of God's love too. Even on his deathbed, John's final words were said to be, "The best of all is, God is with us." Without Aldersgate, Methodism as we know it today may not have existed. Without the Holy Spirit, it certainly wouldn't have. Because Aldersgate is not just about the past or about John Wesley. His experience, so memorably and vividly expressed in his journal, demonstrates the difference it makes knowing God for ourselves through the action of the Holy Spirit. When one least expects it, even when things haven't turned out the way that we hoped, or when we feel we've heard it all before, there can be change. There can be change. Which brings us back to where we started and right to the present moment. A transforming breath poured out on us all. An invitation made to everyone. A choice about how to respond. Do we want to be part of God's mission of change, to open ourselves up to what the Spirit might work in us and where that might lead? Today, there are still many who are seeking to stoke hatred, to divide us, to make out our differences and our diversity in our communities are a source of weakness rather than strength. We saw some of them on the streets last weekend. Thankfully, we'll be spared one appearing up the road this week now. And there are still those who want to keep God for themselves, to limit access to those who conform, rather than all who honestly seek the way of love. It would be easy to listen to the siren voices within and without that claim to hope in something better is all folly. But they are not reckoning on the subversive power of the Spirit that since the dawn of time has made herself known, both in blazes of spectacle and quiet acts of resistance, who afflicts the comfortable and comforts the afflicted, that seeps through a different wall from the Overton window, who calls us to leave behind our echo chambers and discover the joy of being part of the rainbow people of God, to tell the story of love at the heart of creation, and to invite others to experience it and discover it too. For it turns out that the best way to bring about change is to become the change. Yes, maybe that is what I would do. We're going to sing again now. Our next song was written by the New Zealand author Shirley Arena Murray for the 250th anniversary of John Wesley's Aldersgate experience. It's not a hymn that's particularly well known to us, I think, so the choir are going to sing the first verse before we all join in with the second verse. How small a spark has lit a living fire. We have a chance now to think about our response to the invitation of Pentecost, to the invitation of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And for that, we're going to return to our reading from Isaiah, in which we heard about the effects of the Spirit on a person, in Isaiah's vision of the branch that would come from the family of Jesse, King David's father. The reading talks about seven effects of the Spirit, known as gifts of the Spirit. Those are things that can rest on us too, and can enter us like the air that we breathe, renewing us, helping us to join in God's work of renewing the earth. They're not the same as the special spiritual gifts that Paul talks about, that are the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit there, because they are for particular individuals with particular roles in building up the community of Jesus. But these, rather, are gifts that everyone may have, and we can all have at any one time. We're going to light a candle to think about each one of them. They are the gift of wisdom. The gift of understanding. The gift of right judgment, or counsel, is how it's described in the reading. The gift of courage, or might, or fortitude. The gift of knowledge. The gift of reverence, described in our reading as fear of the Lord. And the gift of wonder, described as delight in the fear of the Lord. Seven gifts. And I wonder if there is one in particular that for you today feels like something you would like to know, to experience, to have in your life, that you would like to have blowing through your life like wind, lighting on you like a flame. I guess any of us might choose to be more wise, to have more wisdom. Who doesn't want more of that? But perhaps this is a time in your life when you need courage to face something. Or you might be facing a hard decision and you need right judgment. Or you're full of questions and you're seeking knowledge or understanding. Those of us who take our gifts for granted would perhaps benefit from a fresh dose of reverence or of wonder. I wonder what it is for you. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a moment. And as I read out those gifts again, one by one, as I say the name of the gift that you particularly want to experience today, just raise your hand to acknowledge that desire. No one else will see. And at the end of the service, I invite you to come and pick up a little flame which has that gift named on it for you to carry with you this week. So I invite you to close your eyes. The gift of wisdom. The gift of understanding. The gift of right judgment. The gift of courage. The gift of knowledge. The gift of reverence. The gift of wonder. Breathe on us, breath of God. We're now going to share in saying some words, a litany of these gifts. The words will be on the screen. With the gift of wisdom, which helps us to see clearly Let us renew the face of the earth with the gift of understanding which opens our minds and hearts. Let us renew the face of the earth with the gift of right judgment which keeps us on a true path. Let us renew the face of the earth with the gift of courage, the strength to go forward through and beyond our fears. Let us renew the face of the earth with the gift of knowledge, the assurance of things beyond our senses. Let us renew the face of the earth with the gift of reverence, which inspires us to care for all of creation. Let us renew the face of the earth with the gift of wonder, which allows us to experience the world as children do. Let us renew the face of the earth. Amen. We continue to invite the Holy Spirit to work within us as we sing our next hymn. The number on the sheets is incorrect. If you're using the books, it's number 564, one of Charles Wesley's great hymns, O Thou Who Camest From Above. Let us pray. We hold before God the Church. The Spirit came, and your Church was born, in wind and fire and words of power. We pray, Holy Spirit, renew the life and faith of the Church amidst the challenges of these days. Strengthen our witness and make us one in Christ. We hold before God those who are ill or struggling. The Spirit came, blowing fear aside, and in its place, uncertain souls were stronger. We pray, Holy Spirit, console all who are ill or in need today. Bring healing and wholeness and rest for the weary in body, mind, or spirit. We hold before God our troubled world. The Spirit came, as your word foretold, with dreams and signs, visions and wonders. We pray, Holy Spirit, transform narrow thinking and shatter dogma that has become rigid. May power be used for good, and justice and peace flow like a mighty river. We hold before God our life as a community. The Spirit came and warmed hearts and stirred up the people to share good news. We pray, Holy Spirit, move us to action. Fill us with love that overflows for our neighbours and our enemies too. We hold before God the future. The Spirit came and is here today and going ahead of us, urging us towards your kingdom, drawing us into the new things you are doing in the world. We pray, Holy Spirit, that we may receive and use your gifts well. Ignite a fire in our hearts, a passion for justice and peace that cannot be quenched, until no one is marginalized or oppressed, until all of your children have the opportunity to thrive, until the world is transformed and renewed, and until we know ourselves enfolded utterly in your love. We bring all our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we share together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We come towards our final hymn, during which the offering will be taken up. Just checking whether Leslie Marsh has come, arrived. I don't think so. So we will have to give Leslie our cards and good wishes in another way at a later point. But Leslie, is he here? Oh, he's just arriving, just at this moment. Just coming in at the end of the service. What good timing. Some might say that was spirit-led. Good morning, Leslie. Welcome. We were just saying, we want to have the opportunity to wish you well, because I think this is your last Sunday here, after many, many years as part of the life of this church. So do come in, do come in. And we do have a card that we will give you once you have settled. But we want to wish you well as you move to Hereford and embark on a new life there. So thank you for being with us. As I say, we will take up our offering during our final hymn as well, which is another change to the number on the order of service. It's number 398. There's a spirit in the air. Shall we stand to sing together?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator God, as we journey through this world, give us the grace to allow your Holy Spirit to work through us. Work through these gifts too, that your name may be made known. Help us to celebrate all that is life-giving, to restore hope where it has been lost, and to bring about change where change is needed. And so, may the blessing of God, life-giver, change-maker, love-creator, be with us now and always. Amen. Thank you.